As the children are dismissed and go downstairs, you're back seated. Let's go right into prayer. And continue in an attitude of prayer. Lord Jesus, what you have accomplished is nothing short of astounding, amazing, awesome. And the fact that you invite us to enjoy all the benefits of that as co-heirs with you. Leaves us astounded, amazed, and awed. You help us take hold of what you've made possible, God. Not live apart from you or on our own, but really embrace who we are or who we can be in you. Learn to abide in you as you abide in us. Be glorified and lead us into your truth here this morning, we pray. Amen. What an amazing God we serve. He comes, he does it all, he accomplishes it all, and then says, here, you get to be on my team. You're a part of my family, and you reap all the benefits of what he alone has accomplished. That's amazing. We need to receive it and learn how to receive it. That's our new series here this morning as we kick off the fall, living in our identity and out of our identity in Christ. It's as we're in him that we learn to walk and live. I'll turn around and see it on the screen behind. I don't see it on the one behind you guys, but that's all right. Not many people can see that one anyway. Throughout this series, we're going to be looking into who we are in Christ and what he has done for us. That's the first three chapters of Ephesians. And how we are to live this out in relationships. That's chapters 4, 5, and 6 of Ephesians. We believe a lot of lies about ourselves and others. We find our identity in false and lesser things. And we impose on others their identity in false and lesser things. Start to believe that maybe our identities are in our jobs, or our political leanings, or in our sexuality, and in many other things that are not of Christ and not our core identities. And it robs us, absolutely robs us of what God has accomplished and made possible and wants to give us when we're in him, when we truly abide in him. When we see ourselves and can see each other as adopted and chosen sons and daughters of the King. That's our core identity, not just kind of know it, but really, really live in that identity and out of that identity. This is no small matter. And yet we struggle with it. And we somehow put it on the back burner as if this is a secondary issue or something. And we just start to do life and try and make it work. But this is so liberating. To the extent that we experience him as he really is and our true identity, it's liberating. But first we need to understand and believe our true identity and to learn to live in it in relation to others. We need God to help us do this. This isn't a journey we go on alone. And we need each other to really grow in this. To understand this. Thus, God's made us a body, right? All the language in Scripture is my people and it's community coming together. Yes, we want to experience God and we need to engage in biblical community or we won't be experiencing that. Everyone, we need fellowship. Yes, there's a meeting on September 22nd, a meeting and a potluck. come for the food or come for the fellowship and enjoy the food, but consider that Christ has something more for you by being a part of a small group. I'm sure something that goes on in that meeting, that discussion about small groups, will surprise you. Sometimes we think, oh, small groups, this is what it means. We're trying to think outside the box, what actually helps us experience God and engage in biblical community. And this is not a secondary thing. We will miss out on what God has for us if we're not truly a part of community and doing life together. So, consider that. Everybody should be there on November 22nd. Then you can make a decision after that what that looks like moving forward. So, Ephesians is divided up into these two pieces, chapters 1 to 3, living in our identity, understanding what it is, what Christ has accomplished for us and invited us into. And then chapters 4 to 6, out of that identity in Christ, how does it actually transform and affect our daily lives and our relationships? Well, that's what Ephesians is, and this is an introduction to this. How do we live in and out of our true identity in Christ? I've summarized it just for this morning. I hope you keep these four words in mind throughout this series, and this series is going to go for several months here. Summarize it with IBOD. You get it? We need to ID, our OD, and OD on our ID, and, you know, whatever, we can play with that. But we need to really get into this and really understand our identity in Christ. Not just our minds, but with our hearts and even our souls. Take this to heart, so much so that the way we live is consistent with our true identity. Take on our new identity, not simply give intellectual and mindless agreement. This is more than believe the right things or hold the right doctrine. This is really taking it to heart. So these IBOD, these four words are identify, understand. I'll unpack that in a little bit. But identify what our core identity is, what Christ has actually done, made possible for us, what's true of us as believers in Christ. And we need to defend, defensive mode. Defend against what is false and what's robbing us. We need to actually take ground, be on the offensive, pushing forward, taking this on deliberately seeking to live this out, and this will take discipline to move in this direction. What a terrible word, hey? Discipline ourselves. Right? Scripture says physical discipline is good, but spiritual discipline is good for everything. Right? There's some of us are more active than others, pretty disciplined in our physical activities. But spiritual disciplines are good for they affect every part of life. And it will take discipline. But it's worth it. Consider Paul's prayer in this book, Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. So listen and reflect on these words. For this reason, remember he's been unpacking our identity, all that Christ has done. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth His name, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. That's where we need this understanding to be of our true identity in Christ, in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Are you filled with the fullness of God here this morning? Is that your daily experience? Paul's praying for that. And he's saying, understanding these first three chapters of Ephesians leads to this. Then it moves into, now to him who is able to do more abundantly than all we ask or think. Maybe we've lost hope in some area of life. This is as good as that relationship's ever going to be. Or, yeah, there's my old reaction again. Or why do we, you know, whatever's crushing us, weighing us down. I guess that's as good as, no. Now to him who is able to do abundantly more than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations and forever and ever. Amen. I pray that Paul's prayer would come alive in us during this series. That we would be the church internally and internally and externally with one another, with other. Our relationships would be dramatically impacted in our minds, in our words, in our hearts and our community, in our soul and our actions. They would be more consistently out of who we are in Christ and live for him. So how do we live in and out of our true identity in Christ? Well, first I said it, identify. Identify what that identity is. We're going to walk through this over the next weeks. For now, I'll read Ephesians 1, 3, and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ, to the extent that we dwell in him as he dwells in us, or abide in him as he abides in us, we experience this. Who has blessed us in Christ. All who are in Christ. If you're a believer, you're in Christ. Now we can be hindered from experiencing all of what comes next. Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Doesn't say a couple spiritual blessings. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Here's kind of an outline of where Paul's going to go. He's given his greetings in the first couple verses. And then verse 3 and 4 here, he says, you need to understand your true identity, the blessings in Christ, and then the end there, and we will be more holy and blameless. We will be on that journey. Yes, holy and blameless before him, understanding that's our identity, and it'll affect our relationships. Identify it. Understand it. We want to spend some weeks doing that. 2, how do we live in and out of our true identity in Christ? Well, we need to defend against the false. I've been walking past Tate Andrews' school because it's between the church and our home, and they've been out there practicing, the young Spartans. I think it's hilarious having some of these kids pretty small with that much football equipment on and stuff like that. And Zach and I walked over the other night, and there's a game going on, right? Little league guy running with a ball. The other kid, he's on the defense. So he just hugs this kid, got bowled right over, and he's laying on his back, but he stopped him. We need to be on the defensive. We need to hinder and impede and put off whatever is false, whatever is hindering us from moving forward into this identity. We need to put it off, defend against it. Further on, Ephesians 4, 17 to 23. Consider this. Now this I say, and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. Boy, we live in a day and age where we really trust our own thinking way above what God says, and objective truth. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous, and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him. How many times it's in him in this book? It's amazing. As the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt with deceitful desires. This is continually put it off because it's continually hindering us, right? One play, one tackle doesn't make a football game. One defensive play doesn't make it reality in life either. This is continually putting it off. Trusting in God. Trust also in me, Jesus said. Proverbs 3 says, trust God. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. He will make our paths straight. Do we really, really recognize just how bad we need God? I was reminded of it last night as we were visiting with some neighbors being down in Costa Rica. And we, through a series of events, we got to know some guys from the Teen Challenge Ministry in Costa Rica. These are big men. One was 7 feet tall, arms quite a bit bigger than my thighs, but they're absolutely broken. They're broken. They're addicted to things. They've ruined their relationships, and they recognize it. And we, with our team, got to do a ministry program on the prodigal son in their compound there, very meager place. And at the end of it, I said, and who would like prayer? No hesitation. No hesitation. 100% of those men put up their hands. Some of them are followers of Jesus. Some of them weren't yet. But they said, yes, I need prayer. I need someone bigger than me to lead me through life because I am nowhere near enough. And they fully recognize it. Woe to us who look around and go, well, is anybody else putting up their hand? Or we just have this foolish, blind, deceived sense that we can do life apart from God. And we can't. We can't really have life. He is the way and the truth and the life. We need to defend, put off everything that's hindering us from the next step, from really trusting in God, working and partnering with God. So this defensive, there's an acronym I'll develop more in the future. But first step of it is to stop. Stop believing what's false. Stop doing what is hindering. Go on the defensive. Defend against it. Take some time. Time to go, why am I doing that? What am I believing about myself, about others, whatever else? And appreciate. Ponder here what God has done. Appreciate him. Appreciate who he's made you to be. Appreciate maybe the person you're in relationship with. And then resume. Resume in newness. Not reloaded and ready to go for a better fight. But resume that relationship. Resume that conversation. And then move forward. And that resuming moves into our next spot. How do we live in our culture, live in and out of our true identity, not live in it, well, live in our culture, but not as the culture would dictate. Live in our identity in Christ, and out of that, we need to go on the offensive. We need to advance. We need to promote what is life-giving and put on. Those verses I read earlier was from verses 17 to 23a. Now we'll read 23b to 24. And be to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Wow. You know, I think as we think about the offense, I like football. I like the strategy of it. It's kind of like a chess match. Everybody on the whole team has to play their role for someone on the team to be successful and make the team successful. but I don't watch a whole game. It takes too long. So I watch the game recaps because they're only 6 or 7 minutes, and I can go, oh, good. Calgary won, Calgary lost, whatever. But the game recaps are mostly offensive plays. When people advance the ball and they make a good play and they succeed, their team advances the balls. And they're mostly big plays, right? The ones they really highlight. Hey, a kick return, he's in his own. And 107-yard kick return. Well, of course that's going to be on the highlight reel. 97-yard pass and run touchdown. Of course that's a part of it. But we can start to think that Christian life should be a series of highlights and big plays. But football and life are both about inches. It's about the direction of movement. Anybody have any great big blowout successes in life where suddenly they don't struggle with the issue they've struggled with years before? Once in a while that happens. I do know someone that smoked for years and years and years. God said, well, instead of a cigarette pack in that pocket, put your Bible. Bam. Desire gone. I've known, but it's not the usual. The usual is this slow, directional movement in a, over time. That's what wins games. That's what leads to success in life. It's a game of inches. So how do we live in and out of our true identity in Christ? It's that discipline over time. And not to lose sight of where we're going. Not to become overly defeated when we get bowled over by the guy. But we can still celebrate that we made a defensive play. And yes, I'm on my back. I feel like I've been squished again. But I made a defensive play. Maybe I zipped my mouth from some unhealthy words 2 seconds before I did last time. Amen. Can we celebrate a little bit of movement? The more we understand our identity in Christ, we learn how to live out of that. We put off, we put on, develop disciplines, take weekly action steps, build in accountability. Again, if we think we don't need a smaller group to share life and do life with, I think we're really deceived. Right? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you tackle life? It's just inches. It's just inches, and we need a lot of encouragement along the way. It's a journey. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. We've got to celebrate movement in the right direction. I'm going to show a brief video clip here. It's football movie, but it's not football out on the field. Bryant, what are you living for? Something like a football game doesn't last. Are you living out of your true identity? We were made to bring glory to God. We've been freed to serve Him and bring glory to Him. We need to know and understand and believe in the core of our beings who we are. Or we won't live it. We need to go on the defensive. Get rid of the false and the lesser and put it off. It's not really worth a goal living for. It's way too small. And get rid of it. And we need to go on the, I got another comment about defensive. Often when we think about defensive, right, we think of castles or, defending what's on the outside. Brothers and sisters, when it comes to the Christian life, we need to defend what's already on the inside. We already believe some false things about ourselves and about each other. It'll take the power of God really to take hold and put on truth, put on our new identity, and live in a disciplined manner where we continue to move over time in a direction. And often we can't see it. I remember being encouraged by people in the past, when I can't see the growth in my own life, but somebody can see it over time. Remember when John Weed first had his first stroke, and he's in St. Mike's going through rehab, and he's utterly discouraged some weeks when I would visit him. But I could point out, I'm understanding you better today than I did last week. Little incremental times, he wasn't saying it. He couldn't sense that he was growing. I could say, you're moving better in this way now. And encourage him. We need a lot of encouragement. We need to do life together. This is critical. This isn't optional. We got to figure out how to defend and offend, or not be offensive, but go on the offensive together and take ground together. And it comes through discipline. Identify our true identity. It's three chapters because this is the hardest part. It's the hardest piece of this. Think defensively. Not just outside what attacks, but from within. We've already taken hold of some deceit and some lies. The threat's already here. Right? Our default button goes to trash talk, either of ourselves or others. Think about what really makes you really angry. What if we lose a game? Does that make us angry? What makes us angry is because part of our identity is wrapped up in it. What happens when somebody treats you disrespectfully and you want to get back at them, take revenge? It's because part of our identity is in there and not completely in Christ. There's other things we could go into. But we'll walk through this series together. And we need to believe the truth about ourselves and help each other believe the truth about themselves. And quit taking on other people's perceived opinions and opinions about us. There's freedom in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit as we will discipline and walk through this. Identify what our true identity is. Get rid of, put off the false. Put on what is true and keep discipline to keep walking through that. It's a repeat, a repeat, a repeat of that process. So let's, in these next weeks, dive into these three chapters. See who we are and discover together. And learn, like where this book is going, to protect at the end of it. The adult Sunday school class is going through part of a portion of chapter 6 because it tells us how to protect who we are and how to stand firm and strong in the Lord. And we need this. We need it together. I encourage you to go to the adult Sunday school class. I encourage you to come every week and dive into Ephesians even on your own. Heavenly Father, it sounds simple. We get this to some degree, who we are in Christ. Most of us. Maybe there's some here where this is brand new. What? Our identity in Christ, and it's dramatically different? Yes, it's like difference between life and death. And there's things that hinder us, God. I pray we would go on a discovery together. We'd be self-aware. Wow, why did that make me so angry? What am I believing about myself? Or why am I so vengeful toward that person? What am I believing about them right now? Yes, this will affect our relationships. We need to understand who we truly are and what you have done for us first. The God of all creation, born, sacrifices himself for us that we would be co-heirs. What is that inheritance we have? How do we live and walk in this newness of identity? God, would you lead us on a journey this fall, this spring, for your glory and for the good of your kingdom, your people. Amen.